We Will Not Be Tamed, a Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation podcast that encourages all Texans to get involved in conserving the wild things and wild places of our state.
I'm Lydia Saldana with Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, and today we're going to be talking about corporate philanthropy. Our guests are Neeraj Agarwal, who's the program director with the Rebuild Texas Fund, Lisa Huddleston, the director of strategic philanthropy with Tito's, and our own Susan Houston, executive director of the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation. Thanks for being with us. We're going to talk about how philanthropy comes into play when Texas needs it most, and most specifically in the wake of Hurricane Harvey, when the Michael and Susan Dell Foundation created the Rebuild Texas Fund to help Texas communities recover from the devastating storm. I know that dozens, if not more, partners signed on to help, and thousands have been involved in that. And the efforts raised over $100 million to date. And of course, Tito's was one of the key partners. And come to find out, Tito's played a key role in actually the idea, you know, being developed. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, Neeraj, can you provide some background about the Rebuild Texas effort? And what are some of the key projects that are underway?
Sure. And thanks for having me, Lydia. So the Rebuild Texas Fund came together 3 days after Hurricane Harvey, whilst actually the rains were still falling. And basically, Michael and Susan Dell are native Texans. Michael's own neighborhood was flooded in Milan in Houston, and that moved them to contribute $36 million to seed the Rebuild Texas Fund. We then partnered with One Star Foundation, which is run out of the governor's office, to set up the Rebuild Texas Fund. And the mandate that the Dells gave us was to raise $100 million, of which they had contributed $36 million, but they wanted us to raise $64 million from the balance, from the public, from corporates, from other donors. So that's what we went about doing. We had never, as a foundation, we as Michael and Susan Dell Foundation, had never done disaster relief before. So we're going into this anew. And so within about 2 months, we had raised another $50 million, so as to take this to about $86 million. And then within about 6 months, we had raised about $95 million. Then to get from 95 to 100 took us about another year. So it was a long journey in terms of fundraising, but that's kind of where we're at. From a fundraising standpoint, we've now fully committed the fund. As of August 2019, we've fully committed the Rebuild Texas Fund, the full $100 million. 290 projects, over 1.1 million people impacted or supported, we think. $63 million of additional funding followed Rebuild Texas Fund funding as well. So that's the impact that we've had so far, which we're really, really proud of.
It's an amazing story of philanthropy, of people getting involved. Yeah. And of course, corporate partners played a big part of that. And right before we started recording, we were talking about a breakfast you two had.
Neeraj and I had, prior to Neeraj and I meeting, Tito's had, we've been really involved with disaster response and relief from our inception. And of course, being a Texas company and being in our own backyard, we felt really compelled to give in a big way. So we started with just a matching campaign for the American Red Cross, where we raised $50,000 through our employees, our consumers, fans, whoever. And then we also gave to a local pet organization to help with our Vodka for Dog People program, which is really cool. And then we worked with Austin Disaster Relief Network. And then Neeraj and I were having breakfast just to learn about disaster relief and best practices at MSDF and then at Tito's. And then he said, you know, maybe there's something here with the Rebuild Texas campaign. So we started talking about just the different pillars that they had, and really supporting tourism and the local economies was really central. And we talked specifically about several restaurants that, I don't know if you remember this even, that were closed down, and the impact of the people going in and like setting these restaurants back up, the owners, the employees, whoever. And so it really, you know, affected us, and we thought, gosh, we should really be supporting our industry and help get them back up and running. Because the restaurants really and are the town square, right, where people come together. So we supported the Rebuild Texas Fund with a large grant to help get folks back up and running. That's great.
So Susan, how does all this intersect with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation? How has the Parks and Wildlife Foundation been involved with Rebuild Texas and Tito's in this effort?
Well, first of all, Tito's is working with us on the We Will Not Be Tamed campaign, which is basically our marketing and outreach campaign. So they've been a big supporter of that, and we appreciate it. And then with Rebuild Texas, you know, when the hurricane hit, the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department has many, many facilities and vessels along the coast, as you know, you can imagine, and the damage was horrible. And so the foundation, we initiated a really quick campaign to raise funds to help with items that would not be covered by FEMA. And so we raised $1.4 million to go towards the different vessels and the hatcheries and other things that were damaged. And in the course of this fundraising, we were actually contacted by the Stillwater Foundation, Ellen Ray, and she said, you know, I know this guy Niraj, and they're doing this Rebuild Texas, and I think, you know, there could be a fit. And understanding how the whole, the coast with all the fishing, it's a huge economic driver. And so we knew Rebuild Texas was, you know, that was an important part, is getting these economies up and running. And so our conservation finance director, Meryl Gregg, reached out, and, you know, one thing led to another. And Rebuild generously gave us a $250,000 grant. And with that, we were able to repair the Perry R. Bass hatchery, which is in Palacios. And then also in Corpus Christi, we have the CCA Marine Development Center. And both of those hatcheries are key to fishing in the coast. In a 1 year's time, they've put in almost 15 million fingerlings.
Wow.
Red drum and sea trout. So we did not want the department to miss a season. And so with your help, we were able to do that. So that's kind of where the intersection has come into play.
Yeah. And you know, Susan, you know, we're in the weeds of it, pardon the pun, right? Seagrass
whatever.
Right. We're in the weeds sometimes of what happens for conservation on the coast. And everybody hears about the state parks. I mean, you know about Goose Island, you know about Mustang Island, you know about the parks up and down, and you probably read about and heard about the impact to those. But what you don't really hear about are those hatcheries that you mentioned, Susan. And you know, they kind of fly under the radar, and there's coastal fisheries biologists out there working every day, you know, monitoring the bays, sampling the bays, they stock fish. And that is, again, as you pointed out, is such a key contributor to the economies that are so critical up and down. And I know probably a lot of us have spent some time in Rockport, and Rockport was hit so hard, and it depends so much on the output of those hatcheries. So it's great to hear of the success of that effort. And, and when you go back, I mean, we've been back a couple of times in the last couple of years, and at first it was just mind-boggling, the damage. But every repeat visit, you can see the community healing and the businesses coming back up, and so that's good.
You know, and a lot of the department staff, I mean, they are part of these communities.
Yeah.
There's, you know, a large number of employees with the department, and so, you know, we also focused on that and did disaster relief for department employees. So I think we raised over $400,000 and gave support to about 125 different people.
That's awesome. So Lisa, can you describe some of the specific recovery projects that y'all supported, and why was getting those small businesses back online so important? I mean, you touched on that a little bit, but dive into that a little
bit. Well, it's interesting. So when we first started coming up and concepting this program, we really just got the names of businesses to reach out to, and how can we help support you guys? So we really, it started with us picking up the phone and doing outbound calls and asking, how can we give back and how can we support you? So that was one way. So we sponsored several events. I mean, all kinds of events in between Rockport and Port A is really where we focused on the Gulf. And in some of the smaller communities where it was really kind of harder for people to get to. Houston, it was easier for people to give back right away because they were right around there. But getting down to these communities was tougher. So we did several programs with the local restaurants and bars, and when they got up and running also. We did $1 per cocktail, and it was like the communities that needed it most really gave the most. So while we would match a dollar for every Tito's handmade vodka that was sold, the local restaurant and bar would also match that too.
That's really
and
awesome.
So it was really touching to see that as well. But as a team, our team went down there, and it was fantastic. So we had a team of six. We shoved a minivan full of Tito's swag and went out to all these restaurants and bars and organizations that we had sponsored since January. So we went in midsummer, and then we also did a volunteer project. I think it was 100 plus degrees that day and 100% humidity. it was really important for us to roll up our sleeves and give back some sweat equity and really say thank you to those businesses as well as support them financially.
And that brings your team closer together too, doesn't it?
It really did. I think I didn't really have any place to sit because we had so much swag, so they were making fun of me in the back because there was just Tito swag all around me, and I was like this. Yes, it was lots of fun, Lydia.
That's awesome. Now, the outpouring of support for the Rebuild Texas effort, it's really been astounding.
Yeah.
And what insights do you have about corporate involvement as you reflect on these last couple of years?
Yeah, well, it's kind of what Lisa was saying. And what struck me about the first conversation I had with her was that there was an immediate interest to do more than just, or contribute more than just dollars. And where we've had the best corporate partners have been where they've opened the conversation with saying that we recognize the importance of dollars, but what else can we do to support the recovery efforts? And Lisa mentioned about literally giving people drinks and vodka, which always helps, but can help any situation.
Always.
But what they really brought to it was a credibility. They brought a brand name, they brought their product, they brought employees and volunteer time. And the best corporate partners we've had have done exactly that. So as another example, Goldman Sachs, who is a big corporate partner of ours, they didn't contribute directly to the fund. We had those discussions with them initially, but we said, how can we leverage your core competency to contribute to the hurricane recovery efforts? And so what Goldman said is that, well, there's a small business program, or we had mentioned a small business program to them, and they said, how can we get involved with that? And we said, why don't you lend money to them? They need money to get back up and running. Why don't you lend money to them? And Goldman at that point in time said, well, it's too risky. So we don't know if we can do this. So we said, why don't you quantify your Goldman Sachs? You can quantify things. Why don't you quantify some of the risk? And they went away and did that. And then they said, well, we think about 20% of businesses will go bad. And they had their own number crunching behind that
spreadsheet
to arrive at that number. And so we said, well, what if we were to do a guarantee for 20% and you guys come in and still provide the loan capital? Would that work with you all? And then after several months of negotiation, that's what we landed on. So Goldman provided not just their capital, but also their people to vet the small businesses, not directly, but through an intermediary. And they provided their due diligence and technical assistance and various other things. So that's a great example, we think, of how a corporate can lend way more than just their dollars. And that's the conversations we tried to have with our partners to say, if you're a big corporate, you're probably there because you do something really, really well. And this is the time in need where your state needs you. So how can you contribute what you do really, really well to people that need you right now? And there were so many conversations like that, but that was one of them.
Okay. And I guess in a lot of ways you're charting new ground here in terms of how to respond to this. Is some of this stuff innovative and now can be applied in other ways?
We think so. I mean, when we started off, we thought the traditional model around disaster recovery is funding houses and schools to be rebuilt, which is super important. But as Lisa mentioned, we're on the coast here, and the primary industry there is tourism. And then across the Harvey impacted areas, there were big economic drivers. So for us, we thought we can help fund houses coming back, but we need to think 3, 5, 10 years ahead. And what's gonna re-stimulate the economic drivers? One thing I've learned about Texans, I'm not Texan, as you can tell, I'm Australian, but we share a lot in common. One thing that Texans like is this feeling of independence and this notion of I can do this myself. So we thought a lot about how do we empower folks to come back and take charge of their own recovery and their own rebuilding. And the way to do that, or one of the ways to do that, is to re-stimulate the economic drivers. So in South Texas, in Rockport, in Port Aransas, in Corpus area, the main industry is tourism. So we thought, how do we get small businesses reinvigorated? How do we get tourism? So we funded tourism campaigns. We funded nature preserves and bridges and all these incredible fisheries, all these incredible things with the same idea that this is what's going to get the economic drivers back in action for these communities. So that, I think, is a different approach that we took. We saw some of that happening during Sandy as well in New York, but we really built upon that theme in Rebuild Texas Fund.
Yeah. So yeah. You said this is the first time y'all have done disaster.
Yeah.
Do you think it's first the last time?
Well, I hope there's never a disaster like Harvey again, right? But I think I have no idea. That's way above my pay grade in terms of whether or not we'll do this again.
So Lisa, I know that this is more than just one project for y'all. I mean, this isn't a one-off. This isn't the only thing you've ever done. And I know that the Love Tito's evolution is underway on a number of different fronts. You know, what's that been like to watch that movement within your company? I mean, because it really is blossoming. It's flourishing.
Yeah,
what's that been like?
It's been awesome. It's really cool. We really started 20 plus years ago with Tito, and I don't know if you know, his last name is Beveridge. So Tito would go out to local events and charitable events, and he really went to serve and get the brand in the hand, and especially at nonprofit events, he thought, gosh, this feels really good. So more and more people started asking for Tito to show up and pour his product, and he thought, gosh, this is great. So when fast forward years later, when he was actually able to hire his first employee, they said, hey, Tito, who should we give to? And Tito says, I don't know, just love them all. And so it really appears that we do. So all of our employees get their own little buckets of joy funds that they can give to throughout the U.S. and globally. So to organizations that they're really passionate about. So fast forward 20 some years later, the last few years we've given to tens of thousands of charitable events around the world. So wow. It's really been awesome. And we're just keep getting bigger and bigger and going more.
Share the love.
Share the love.
That's awesome. Now, Susan, you've been involved in private philanthropy for conservation for many years. I won't say how many, but many years. Why is Parks and Wildlife Foundation engaging with corporate partners now, and certainly more than in past years?
Well, I think we've always received support from corporate partners. I think part of why we're partnering more is that we did the We Will Not Be Tamed campaign. And that was more of a public awareness campaign in the beginning. That was in 2018. And a lot of people didn't necessarily know about the foundation. And so we partnered with a lot of wonderful companies and, of course, some individuals, some outdoorsmen and women. But I think that gave us visibility, which we really wanted. And we got contacted by other corporations that loved what we do, want to take care of the wild things and wild places. And so we've just kind of grown that. And, you know, when you look at corporations, you know, they're a corporate citizen, but what's a corporation made of? People. Mm-hmm. And those people have causes, just like Lisa was talking about. And many of those, you know, employees at those corporations, they love the outdoors, and you know they want to help take care of Texas and make sure it's here for forever. So,
well, and of course you mentioned the campaign, and I want to ask Lisa directly, you know, why has Tito's gotten involved with the campaign?
Yeah, well, like I mentioned earlier, all of our employees have their individual buckets of joy and love funds. So this actually was brought to my attention through two of our local team members, and they were really excited about the campaign. One, we're a Texas-based company. Two, they all love to be outdoors. And we all share the same environment, the same earth, the same home, and the same goals. And so we've supported you guys for the last few years.
Yeah.
And I know it keeps getting bigger. They come up with some creative ways to keep supporting, and we hope to for a long time.
So. Well, thank you.
No, thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. So in just wrapping this up, since we started talking about the Rebuild Texas Fund, which we're all connected to, what's the status and are all the projects underway, and what's next?
Yeah, so like I said, we fully finished deploying the fund in August 2019, so 290 projects. About 130 of them have closed already. So all of them are underway, but about 130 of them have finished their project term. So there's about 160 that are still active. We hope that they'll be mostly completed by August of 2020. That's the timeline that we've given them. And then after that, Michael and Susan Dell Foundation, as it stands, will kind of extract itself from Rebuild Texas Fund. So we're in discussions at the moment with our partner, One Star Foundation. We don't know exactly what they're planning, but there is some talk for them to potentially continue the Rebuild Texas Fund. We don't know. So that's kind of the future. We recognize that Hurricane Harvey is a long term, the recovery from it is long term, that we've been in it for 2.5 years now, 3 years by the time we're done. We're really just getting started. And the recovery, I just see it every time I go down to the coast, that there's a new problem that reemerges. And especially after Imelda, which happened a couple of months ago, a lot of those same issues are resurfacing, whether it's housing or education, but especially mental health, a lot of those issues are reemerging. So we see the need for a longer term, more permanent presence around disaster recovery. It won't be us as MSDF, but it might be another organization. So we'll be looking to support them and share out our learnings. And that's the other thing that we're doing, trying to encapsulate all of our learnings and share them out more broadly to other potential philanthropists in the future.
Well, Texas says thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a great honor.
Thank you all for taking your time to be with us today.
Oh, our pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Brought to you by Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, We Will Not Be Tamed calls us all to appreciate the wildness of Texas, the vastness of our Texas spirit, and why we should be inspired to conserve it. Find out more at wewillnotbetamed.org.